Hello and welcome to Empowerment. I'm Kelly Whetstone. Thank you for joining me today. It is 10 a.m. Pacific time on Tuesday, March 18th, 2025. Happy spring. It's 2 days away, officially 2 days away. So, and I can really feel, I know it's the energy of spring, but I just think there's so much going on. And again, I'm not an astrologer by any means, big disclaimer, but I know a lot's going on just with planets changing signs, the big guys. And if you listen to CA and listen to Mark Husson, you can find out a lot more about it. But I don't know, there's just kind of a, I don't know, it's a lightness that I feel energetically, just kind of like a lifting off. Maybe it's a lifting off of winter, you know, energy. And winter is a beautiful season. I love winter. I love fall. I love cold. But winter is beautiful because it kind of invites us to go within, because sometimes it's really cold where you live and snowy and you're safe. I'm saying you, let me rephrase that. My safe haven, my sanctuary is my home. And so in winter, I think we spend more time there. So it's a different, it's a more inner kind of a season, you know, we can really work with ourselves and be comfortable and go inward, I think easier when it's in the dark, you know, and the winter is the time of the dark and the fall leading up to the winter. So, but then springtime is outgoing, you know, it's that outgoing cardinal energy. And that just shakes things up. It just shakes things up. And it really does feel to me, the only way I can describe it is like a lifting of that winter energy, that inward energy, and an invitation to go out, to be in life. And it's just lovely. I mean, it's just lovely. I don't know if you're experiencing that or not, but I've really noticed it. And I've really noticed it, especially, I think, since I got over the spring forward hangover that I had for about a week last week. Finally, that lifted, I don't know, like Saturday or something. And it's like, oh, here we go. Now I'm here. That's strange. Those time changes are just strange. But anyway, my show today, a couple weeks ago, I started talking about miracles and shared a little bit of Stuart Wilde's book called Miracles with you. And I want to continue that today, but woven into that to me is the whole idea of supply. And supply is, quoting Joel Goldsmith, my awareness of God in the midst of me. That's our supply. Source is our supply. And supply demonstrates in the physical as what we need when we need it. And so I want to start with a story right now, and then I'm going to go on with this in the teaching segment. But this is just, you know, a kiss on the cheek from God. Kisses on the cheek from God are little supply. You know, maybe not even little supply, but I think little examples is a better way to say that, of supply. So here's kind of a funny one, actually. Last week, well, actually, I guess about 2 weeks ago, I finally got my compost trash can from the city of Denver. And I don't know how long ago I applied for that, but, you know, nothing goes fast. And it's like they said they'd be rolling them out in spring. And all of a sudden, you know, it's out on my sidewalk. And it was during one of those snowstorms that we had at the very end of February, a pretty substantial snowstorm. And I thought it was the neighbors because it really wasn't in front of my house, really. Well, then when it was there for a few days, I thought, oh my gosh, that's my compost trash can. I should take it into my own yard, which I did. And, you know, I wanted that thing because I eat primarily fruits and vegetables. So I'm really happy that banana peels can be put to use rather than just go into a landfill. Banana peels, among other things. But here's the cool thing about the compost bins, and you probably know this, but other things that can be put in the compost bins are things like branches and leaves and grass clippings and stuff that you get out of your yard, not dirt, but you know, things that will break down, obviously. So over the past, I don't know, several weeks, a couple of branches, we've had a lot of wind, and then with the snow and stuff, it was a heavy wet snow, so some branches got knocked down. But I've had a couple of branches that are kind of big that I just sort of shoved back there where my trash cans live in between the front and backyard. And I wanted to break them down and put them in the compost bin. And my trash gets collected on Wednesdays. So I wanted to get them in there so that they could take them away. So these were a couple, I mean, they're not width-wise big, but they were big and they had other branches, smaller branches attached. So I was able to get the small branches off, but when I tried using a trimmer, you know, one of those big things that you just push the arms together, you know, and it clips like rose trimmers, but a giant size, and I couldn't break them. They were too thick to I couldn't cut them. They were too thick. So anyway, it was like, oh man, now I can't get them out there, you know. And I'm doing this after Grace and I get in from our walk. So it was really early in the morning, and I was sitting there, and then into my mind came this small saw that I bought like years and years and years ago, pretty much probably right after I moved into the house. And it was a small saw. It's got a pointed blade. It's about 8, 10 inches long, something like that, and a wooden handle. And the blade just folds down into the handle, kind of like a pocket knife. And it was the handiest little saw. It was sharp. It worked really well, and it was perfect for me, you know, because I'm not to use a big saw. That takes talent. You know, my grandpa was a great carpenter, and I watched him do it. And it's like, well, that doesn't look like anything. Yeah, try it. Try it and see how awkward you are. I was anyway. Kind of like watching my gram make bread and knead dough, you know, when she was making a loaf of bread, and that looks so easy. No. Remember the first time I tried it, it's like, what? How could this be this hard or laborious? But anyway, back to my story. I digress. So I hadn't seen that little saw in years, and you know, my shed is, it has boxes in it, and it still has, you know, tools and stuff that Channon had. And Channon was the kind of guy that if he needed to do something, if he needed a tool, he'd just go get one rather than going in and sorting through the boxes in the shed. He'd just go get a new one. So there are multiple duplicates of tools in the shed and in those boxes, and I just wasn't, you know, it's just chaos. And I wasn't gonna go in there and see if I could find it, because really I haven't seen it in a very, very long time. So, you know, who knows? But I thought, I'm having this conversation in my head that that was such a handy little saw, and honestly, I've not thought of that in forever. So I thought, I'll try and find one online because, you know, if I can get that, I can do more yard stuff myself and have it taken away once a week rather than have it be, you know, like a big project, even though I do have to have a huge project, and Scott will come and help me with it to really clean, to do the spring cleanup. But I can do part of that myself if I have the tools to do it. And again, like I said, it can be taken away once a week rather than piles of, you know, bags that need to be hauled off someplace. So anyway, I didn't meet my goal of getting those branches in the bin. So I went in the house and had breakfast. And afterwards, I'm looking through my email, and of course, I have my morning email from Woot. And I always look through it to see if there's anything I can use because prices are really good. So I'm scrolling through, and at the bottom of page, at the bottom of the last page, is a little red saw. Exactly like the one I was looking for, or the one that I used to have, except this is metal, has a metal handle, and it folds down into the handle. Exactly the saw. And so I just start giggling, right? I mean, this is an example of supply. This is what I needed when I needed it. And the thing of it was, on Woot is a is like Amazon's overstock. So it's stuff, there's not a lot. You just look through it on the day that the emails come and see if there's anything you can use. You don't really go looking for stuff on it. But anyway, it was $11. $12 and change with tax. So of course I ordered that right away. But you know, that was not only a kiss on the cheek from God and gave me a giggle on top of it, you know, because that was just so funny. But it's just a perfect example of supply. You know, what I needed that at that time. And there it is. You know, it was perfect. The conversation in my head, I wish I still had that little saw. I wonder if I can find one online. And Spirit goes, here you go. It's right here. So that was just, it was just joyful and a fun story. And you know, I encourage you to pay attention, because these things happen all the time. And things that we, you know, might kind of brush past and say, well, that was interesting that that happened. You know, well, that was kind of cool. Give some gratitude. You know, just noticing it. Attention is love. Attention expands what it's focused on, and it invites more. So, you know, really, I just encourage you to pay attention, because these things really do happen all the time. Michael Tamura, miracles are always happening. We just fail to recognize them. So, anyway, I wanted to share that with you. And I got more in the teaching segment, but I'm just celebrating that. You know, and that's the other thing too. Not just noticing, but celebrating, being grateful, laughing, enjoying. That's, you know, God is the creator and the enjoyer. We are not, but he creates and enjoys through and as us. So then again, it comes back and is reflected to us as enjoyment. So the more we can laugh and have fun and be childlike about things, again, the more we get and the more childlike we can be, which is just delightful, right? When you're grown up. It really is. So anyway, thank you again for listening today. I'm really happy to be here. I've got a lot to share, and I'm just in, it just feels really good to be here today, and I'm glad you're here with me. If you can, please join us in the chat room. Just go to 12radio.com and click chat. Feel free to comment or ask questions about the teaching segment, and I'll answer them after the show. If you would like a reading from me, you can find me every day on 12listen.com, typically from mid to later morning Pacific time into the evening. If you stop by and don't see me, or if I'm busy, just put in a call back request or schedule a call. I'm notified right away, and I'll always do my best to meet your schedule. And I would love to work with you. We do have reduced rates a few times a week on 12listen, typically Wednesday, Friday, Sunday. And this week we'll be welcoming spring on Thursday with reduced rates on calls and chats. And if you want to be notified of our specials, just go to 12listen.com and sign up for 12 promotions. And that's just all that entails, is leaving your email address. And I still have my, and I will throughout spring, have my Welcome Spring 15-minute time-based session available. And it's just, you know, kind of help in letting go of that winter energy or anything that's in your way of experiencing and enjoying and being in a season that just represents new beginnings and new opportunities. So I would love to work with you. It's a 15-minute session, and we can do a lot of work in 15 minutes. My You Empowered Intuitive Feng Shui class starts this Thursday night at 5 o'clock on 12 Academy. First day of spring felt like the perfect time to do it. And I invite you to join me. It's going to be a really fun, it's a series of classes. However, each one is a standalone. So it's not, you know, you're not obligated to take all of them. But, you know, it's just, it's intuitive feng shui, which is a great empowering practice. It's very simple, very common sense, very intuitive, and just a lot of fun. I mean, anytime that you can make a physical affirmation of your intentions, which is what, that's my definition of feng shui, and have it remind you of that every time you walk by, what does that do? You know, you're putting your intention out there, and you're putting attention on your intention, and attention attracts more of itself. So it expands what it's focused on and, increases your vibration, and what you vibrate at, you attract. And the same for your home. So, and it's also, in New Thought, the square of life or the divine standards are wholeness, abundance, right relationship, and true place fulfillment, or health, wealth, happiness, and success, all of which we are entitled to as divine beings, all of which exists within us as divine beings, and all of which are addressed in the Bagua and can be worked on in the Bagua. So I'm just excited to teach it, and I hope you'll join me. Class one this week is the basics, the nine life areas, where they're located, colors, elements, shapes associated with each area, and talking about the creative and destructive cycles, cures, and enhancements. Next week, it's the prosperity areas of the Bagua. There are many areas that contribute to prosperity, and we're going to just delve into each one of them and work each one of them. And then the class three is the relationship areas of the Bagua. Again, there are many, many areas in the Bagua where you can work on relationships, but the thing we may not realize is that there are many, many kinds of relationships, because really and truly, life is a relationship. It really is. Everything is relative, right? So I'm just excited to teach all of them. And then class four, we're going to focus on the health and the fame and reputation areas of the Bagua, because throughout the other ones, these need a little more, I think they need a little more attention, or give them their due, their important areas. And also answer questions about specific concerns, go over specific concerns with students. So there's no prerequisite for these classes. They'll be listed on One-Two Academy until they are taught. They will all be recorded, so if the time doesn't work for you, register anyway and you'll get the recording. And I hope you do. I really am excited. It's going to be a fun time. And I'm going to take a breath because I'm just like speed talking. And as always, I want to remind you of the gratitude board on One-Two Listen. Post what you're grateful for. The advisors of One-Two Listen will add our intention to yours. And you can post anonymously, so why not? We're here to support you. It's another way we can support you, as is One-Two Radio. Thank you for listening, however and whenever you do. There's programming 24/7, and there are archives of all the shows from all the hosts in the on-demand section at one2radio.com. You can download them anytime you want. So I encourage you again to take advantage of that. It's just a great sort of source of inspiration, information, and support. And inspiration is totally up to us. It's not going to come knocking at your door. It's just not, typically. So we have to keep our corks afloat, as Abraham would say. We have to find ways to stay inspired, because that's the whole thing, staying up. And there's plenty in life, because life comes at it as it shows up as it will. And it's a roller coaster. Excuse me, it's a roller coaster. It's a wild card. So when it's coming up and it's not so great, having ways and means to stay inspired, get you through that and let you know who you are, because nothing that happens, nothing negative that could ever happen, is greater than who you are. Positivity always overrules negativity. Always. So I just encourage you to take advantage of the down, excuse me, of the on-demand section at one2radio.com. And right now, I want to thank Serena for all she does for us on One Two Radio and for producing my show. And let's move into the teaching segment by listening to a song called The Magic of Spring by Gandalf from the Celtic Lounge 3 CD and Sequoia Records. Enjoy it, and I'll be back right after. Welcome back. I hope you enjoyed that music. I thought it was lively and springy and St. Patrick Day-ish. So I thought that was appropriate. I hope you enjoyed it. So as I said earlier in the first part, after I started talking, I want to talk more about supply and share more experiences, because last week up until even this morning, actually, we're just filled with different experiences. So it was like, hello, 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 you know, and it's good, because again, the more you pay attention to that, the more you notice, the more they happen. But I want to share more. First off, I want to share more of Stuart Wilde's book, Miracles. And I shared the first two steps, or the first two chapters, if you want to call them that, in Creating Miracles on the show for March 4th. It's in the on-demand section at 12radio.com if you missed it. If it lights you up, what I'm saying, if it lights you up to share Stuart, because he was my first teacher, my first metaphysical teacher. He lit me up, and his teachings put me on the path that I'm on now. And so he's very important to me, but I don't share a lot of him. He comes into my head because I've listened to CDs a million times. So he comes into my head when I need something, you know, but to actually share from his books, I don't do that very often. But this book is 32 pages long, and it's big print, and you can read it in an hour, but it's just loaded with really deep stuff. It's like, this is what it is. But the thing is whatever it is that we want to demonstrate in our lives, it's not being demonstrated, because we have to get to the place where we are it, not just want it, but are it. And it takes work. And that is our work. Our work is always on ourselves. There is no God outside of us. None. And as Reverend Ike said, creation is finished. God's got no more to give, because we have it all. We, the self, soul, being, life, and mind of us is God, source, universe, whatever your word is, all that is, the Tao, Brahma, whatever you want to call it. It's all names for the same thing, which is infinite life. So it's a matter of, in his book, he just talks about what you need to know, because miracles are, you know, what he's calling miracles and what we would call miracles, I think have a big, you know, angel coming down from the sky and handing you some, you know, association to that word miracles. And they're not. They're you knowing who you are and opening out a way for that to demonstrate in your life. Simply put, that's it. And so this book is like kind of an instruction manual in how to learn how to open out a way for them to demonstrate in your life, because they're there. The kingdom of heaven is within you. So last week I shared the first two steps, as I said, and just briefly recapping those. The first step is understanding the universal law. And I'm quoting from the book now, creating miracles in your life is no more complicated than understanding the metaphysics of the universal law. The life force is eternal and universal. And because of its limitless capacity, it is part of all things. Moreover, it is a major part of each of us. Consequently, we all have within us an unlimited power. Creating miracles in our lives becomes a matter of identifying with the power, understanding its characteristics, and learning to use it effectively. Universal law is impartial and unemotional. It accepts whatever thoughts, feelings, and actions you project and reflects them back to you unemotionally in the form of events that you experience day to day. It will give you anything you believe in, no more, no less. Therefore, the key to understanding miracles is to look at the beliefs you express as thoughts and feelings. The second step, and again, this is a brief recap, And it's all a brief, like a synopsis of what's in there. But in the book, the second step was understanding life's mission. We are not our bodies or our emotions or our minds or any of the structures and restrictions we experience around us. We are an infinite part of the God force, using the physical form to experience spiritual development through a special teaching called daily life. When you entered the earth plane, you entered by choice the body that you are now in. You chose the circumstances of this life because it was the next step in your infinite evolution. And because this life would allow you to expand what you are spiritually so that you could become an even greater expression of the infinite life force or living spirit. As you entered this dimension through birth, you had within your consciousness a heroic mission, a goal. The nature of that goal is firmly written in the deepest recesses of the inner you. And what you are today, no matter what you feel about yourself, is actually a part of that goal in various stages of completion. The third step is what I'm going to work with you, or is what I'm going to share with you today, and that is understanding the nature of beliefs. The next step in creating your own miracles is to look at the nature of beliefs. By reviewing beliefs and feelings, you begin to understand how to use the universal law effectively. It is natural to yearn for the impossible, and in so doing, you establish strong beliefs about what can be done and what cannot. You can jump a certain height and no higher, run at a certain speed and no faster, accept a certain position and no better. Your ability to work miracles is predicated entirely on how easily and quickly you can give the collective unconscious the slip. It's your attachment to the collective unconscious, okay, and that is the thought atmosphere, the universal consciousness is what Joel called it, the psychic sea, which is everybody's thoughts, everybody's emotions, everybody's everything that's ever been on the planet. Humanly speaking, it is restriction, limitation. I mean, certainly from joys and highs to the complete opposite. It's contained out there. It is an atmosphere that we navigate through every day. So, but it's not truth. It's not truth. Truth is at the center of your being. And there is no limitation, no lack in source, none. So that's what he's saying. We have to get out of, let go of the collective unconscious and those influences, the influences, prenatal influences, early childhood, environment, your education, our education, and our life experience or ego, all of those things, the associative mind. That's the collective unconscious, what we've come, our ego, our self-concept, our opinions, judgments, none of which are true. Opinions and judgments are true only to the person who holds them. They are not truth. They are just beliefs. Beliefs are not truth. So looking at our beliefs is really important. And he goes on to say, that was an insertion by me, that little bit. It is your attachment to the collective unconscious or world belief patterns that hold you back. This attachment, which you accepted at birth, is your main challenge in life. And your spiritual goal is to step above it. Eventually, you realize that in order to become part of a higher consciousness, you have to leave where you are right now and step into the unknown. As you take that step, your perceptions expand gradually to accept a higher vibration of self. And you understand that what others believe is a part of their evolution, but it is not the sum total of all the facts. To harness the universal law effectively, you should watch its manifestation, which is basically every event in your life. Then link each event to your underlying feelings and attitudes. Realize that when things go well, it is solely because you put that image into the universal law, and it responded. Imagine the universal law as a shipping clerk in a large mail order company. He gets your order but has no idea who you are. If the order says size 8, he sends out size 8. It's of no concern to him whether or not size 8 fits you. He merely complies with your request. In daily life, your feelings, thoughts, and attitudes are your order form. So before you decide to change your present conditions, you'll have to be very sure of what you want from life. You have to write clearly, and you have to be ready to accept whatever you're looking for. Creating energy for yourself through the universal law is not just a matter of wishing for things willy-nilly. You have to realize that the power is within you. Once you take the first step toward it, whatever you create will be for your highest good. It might not be exactly what you thought you wanted, but you'd better be ready for the consequences. Before embarking on a miracle action plan, quote unquote, you ought to spend some time meditating on the conditions or material objects you want. The universal law is the shipping clerk, waiting for your clear and concise order. The currency with which you are going to pay for it is belief. You cannot be half-hearted, or you'll dissipate your personal power and nothing will happen. You have to take the path like a warrior. No matter what confronts you, no matter where you are right now, no matter what adversity you face, you will reach your objective. The universal law does not care whether you have your heart's desire or not. Therefore, you might as well make up your mind to collect. Eliminate negativity and do not listen to the limitations of mind's logical advice. The mind's logical advice. Miracles are not logical. And then this great quote, I do not accept any energy that is contrary to the unlimited power that lies within me. Say that, then press on. Infinite power is so magnanimous, so powerful, so much more than the mind that it exists in a separate dimension. And when he talks about, interjection here, when he talks about dimensions, dimensions are not outside of us. Dimensions are within us. And when we sit down and meditate, and when we practice the presence of Source within us, we are in a different dimension than when we're out, you know, doing our laundry and doing stuff in the material world. So that's what he talks about. He uses the word dimensions a lot, and that can sound woo-woo and way out there, but it's not. It's not. Infinite power is within us. It's just a separate dimension from what we are used to dealing with in our day-to-day lives. So he said it exists in a separate dimension, and that's why the mind has difficulty perceiving it, perceiving that it's even there. You'll get an intuition or a feeling or a rush of excitement, but that's all. You cannot really hear it, touch it, or taste it, but it comes round the mind like a breeze. And when it starts to work in your life, you will know it by the quality of people and events that surround you. Then he lists these important points, and these are just like bullet points. Just as a reminder, a recap, the universal law or living spirit is unlimited. This force is within you. Therefore, what you are is also unlimited. The universal law is impartial and unemotional. It cannot discriminate. It will willingly give you anything you believe in. You are not your body or your emotions or your mind. You are a part of the living spirit, learning. No matter what your circumstances, the universal law can be called upon at any time because it is the real you. whatever you create for yourself by understanding mystical, metaphysical aspects of the universal law is yours. Because you created it, you deserve it. And the last one, miracles are not gifts from God. They are a part of what you are, which is God. So I think you can call that supply, right? Miracles and supply, I think, are synonymous. Joel Goldsmith said, supply is my awareness of God in the midst of me. That's what supply is, our knowing, that peace that passes understanding. When we get into that peaceful place, when you experience a shift in your energy and you just know that it's all right. No matter what the monster is, it's knocking at your door. It's all right. I'm all right. Everything is fine because you're in that real part of yourself. And that peace that passes, that shift in your consciousness is the substance of that supply. So, again, I think miracles and supply, miracles are demonstrations of supply. Supply is an infinite energy. What we see outside of us is the demonstrations of supply, are the demonstrations of supply when something comes into our experience. So on the show from March 4th, the one when I was talking about miracles and my introduction to this book, introducing you to this book, one of the miracles that I had experienced that I talked about was meeting Scott, who is my nephew-in-law, Scott's friend Jane. And he brought her over, and what a wonderful instant connection we had. I mean, we had an evening of just spiritual conversation and joy, and I mean, it was just magical. And at that time, it was just exactly what I needed. So it really was. It was a miracle. It was God taking care of me and a definite example of supply. So here's my first supply experience that I want to share. Actually, the first one was a little saw. So here's the second one. So yesterday was a wonderful busy day online, like a really busy day online. And I finished my last call about 8:30 last night. And I was just beat. I mean, I was really tired. I was trying to write my show and get my thoughts together for it and answer calls and just work. And it was a great day of work. I love days like that when you're just in it, and you're just jamming. But by the time 8:30 rolled around, I was tired. And I always make an arugula salad at night, and I just didn't feel like doing it. So I decided to make a sandwich, just a sandwich, a cheese sandwich. So I grabbed a bottle of mustard, Grey Poupon, out of the refrigerator, and it slipped out of my hand. And it fell on the floor, and the cap broke. It was one of those that flip caps, so you could squeeze it out. And the cap broke, the top part broke off. And of course, Grace is standing right by me, wondering what I'm going to make for dinner and if there are any cucumbers that she can eat. So I grabbed a paper towel and I picked up the cap and wiped up the mustard that I saw and threw that away. And then I turned around and she's like, kind of, she wasn't really coughing, but it was like she was trying to get something out of her throat. And I thought I'd grabbed that whole cap that was broken. And apparently not. And she got a hold of a piece of it. And then she is just in a panic. And she's pawing at her face, pawing at her mouth, and like frantically pawing at her mouth. And all of a sudden, I look, I'm going, what's going on? And her paws are bloody, her mouth is bloody, and she is just a mess. And she's freaking out, just shaking. And I tried to open her mouth, which is a challenge anyway, no matter what. And I couldn't see anything. And because of that, like, kind of like, when you swallow a crumb and you're just trying to get it out of your throat, that kind of sound. But she was breathing. She was breathing. I thought she had something stuck in her throat. So Anyway, I called Scott because Scott only lives 13 blocks away from me because I was panicked. I was as panicked as she was, and I didn't know what to do. And I thought maybe if he was anywhere close, he could come by and just help me look in her mouth and maybe get whatever was in there out. Because I mean, she's a 12-pound dog. She's a little dog, but it would take two of us because it was a challenge. Anyway, he answered his phone right away and he said, "Oh my gosh, perfect timing. Jane and I were going to his car's in the shop getting body work done, and she was going to take him to a rental car place by the airport to pick up a rental." And he goes, "We just got in the car. We can be there in just a minute." And literally, they were here in like 3 minutes. So he came in and he tried to see in there. He couldn't see anything. So, we wrapped her in a towel and they took me to the emergency vet, which, of course, now here's supply. He was available. They were here in 3 minutes. Here's the second aspect of supply and gift. The emergency vet was on the way to the airport. So they dropped me off. They went to the airport. He got his rental car and he picked me up on the way back to bring us home, picked us up on the way back to bring us home. So we get to the emergency vet and I walked in and there was nobody in there. I mean, there was nobody there, nobody waiting. So I took her up there and they were able to, I filled out the paperwork and their fee for an emergency visit is like, I think she said $225, something like that. I said, "Fine, no problem." And then you have to, sign away other things in case it's like a real emergency. So then I went back and I sat down and I got notified on my phone that she was up and somebody would be out to get her. I mean, we weren't there, I doubt, sitting down 5 minutes before the tech came out, and I explained it all to her and she said, "Okay, I'm going to take her back." And she said she's kind of panicking, so we might have to give her a little bit of a sedative. And I said, "Whatever it is, whatever, just please take care of her, So she took her in, and it was not 5 minutes later that she brings her back out to me, and she goes, "She's good. She's fine." A piece of plastic, and this was a big piece of plastic, had wedged in her teeth, and so she was trying to get it out of her teeth, and I think between her paw and it was sharp, sharp and edgy. It was cutting her gum because there was quite a bit of blood. So they took it out in a minute, and she said, "And because that really what didn't qualify as a full emergency visit, we're only going to charge you half price." So supply, 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 right? Just evidence of God, evidence of support, evidence of love, what I needed when I needed it. And then to be, only charged half price was great. So we sat down and we waited, and Scott picked us up. We waited, I don't know, maybe 45 minutes and for him to come by. The airport's about 30 minutes away. So, and he goes to a place over there because he gets a good deal and he's gone there forever on rental cars. So he stopped, he picked us up on his way back and brought us home. But I mean, every bit of that, every step of that, I'm him, them getting in the car, to head off to the airport and they could come by right then. I mean, think about it. That's a miracle in and of itself. And that the vet was on their way, so I didn't have to inconvenience him. And he was even coming by, he wasn't late. He had to be there sometime after 8:30. So he goes, it's working out fine for me. So anyway, and just the fact that it was really not a big deal. And she showed it to me. She brought it back in a tube. She goes, "Do you want this?" And I went, "Yeah. Maybe I can like put it on her collar so she'll remember not to eat stupid things." But I don't know where that thing was. I didn't see it when I picked up that cap. But anyway, so all's well that ends well, right? And it just always, things pretty much always end well. I really do believe that. Here's my second experience of supply. And in these examples that I'm giving you, these are really again, supply, what you need when you need it. People think of supply, I think, mainly as money, but it's whatever you need. It's another word for absolute support. It's another word for absolute support. Never thought of that before. That's true. So I ordered Shannon's gravestone last May, and it was kind of like with all the stuff that had to, be taken care of, just business-wise, for both he and my mom, because I was the representative for both of them. There was just so much paperwork and accounts and changing, getting her mail forwarded to me, and just a ton of things that you would never ever think about. And I knew because they kept reminding me. The mortuary would send me a supportive letter and then say, please don't forget to order a monument, because it's taking now close to a year to get it done. And I don't know why that is. I don't know if it's demand, probably. I don't know if there's a problem with the supply of the stone. I don't know. But that was the warning from the very beginning. It takes a while to get it. So I finally did it after I got an agreement from Channon's kids that it sounded good. And I mean, that was like herding cats, but got it ordered last May. I thought I ordered it in March, and I think that's why it was kind of tapping me on the shoulder. And I'm thinking, wow, that's been a year. But then I went back and looked at the order form, and honestly, over that period of time, it's really not something that I thought of often. But again, because it's March, and I guess I thought I did it in March, it was on my mind. And so early last week, I realized when I found out it was May, it's been 10 months, and she said it would take about 8 months to complete. So I am literally writing an email to her last Tuesday when I received her email saying that the stone had been set the day before on March 10th. She sent me a picture of it and the invoice. So I think the reason why I feel this is an example of supply is because it was the last big thing that needed to be accomplished where Channon's death was concerned. The last, big in the sense of the monument itself, and that's going to be there forever, and making the final payment for it. So it's done. It's done. It had been on my mind for just a few days, really, but it had been taking up space in my space all along, because again, the final payment for it. So it was finally done, and I felt later lighter because it was the closure of the business aspects associated with his death. And it was also perfect timing because his birthday is this coming Saturday. And his daughter and I are going to go visit the cemetery and then have lunch. And the last time we saw each other was his birthday, when several of us went to our favorite restaurant a year ago to celebrate his 70th. So that was just another closure is supply, I have to say. So, again, I'm just going to wrap up because I've got a couple more minutes, and I'll share the other one with you maybe next week. But supply is what you need when you need it. Again, it can be anything, but it's support. It is the kingdom of heaven within you. And to quote Stuart Wilde one more time, because I thought this was so wonderful. Infinite power is so magnanimous, so powerful, so much more than the mind that it exists in a separate dimension, so much more than the mind that it exists in a separate dimension. And that's why the mind has difficulty perceiving it, that it is even there. You'll get an intuition or feeling or a rush of excitement, but that's all. You can't really hear it, touch it, or taste it. But it comes around the mind like a breeze. And when it starts to work in your life, you'll know it by the quality of the people and events that surround you. Miracles are not gifts from God. They're a part of what you are, which is God. Thank you for joining me today. I hope that was valuable to you. I'm Kelly Whetstone. You've been listening to Empowerment. We're here on 1-2 Radio, where we're changing the way that you listen to the world. Please stay tuned for Katie Weaver and have a very, very blessed week, everyone. Goodbye.